Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically.
Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today we're going to talk about something that we haven't had to talk about for a while, Tanya, because of the market that we were in. And we're going to talk about contingency offers, what that means to the buyer if you want to make one. We're going to talk a little bit directly towards realtors because, again, we haven't had to deal with that. And I do want to just tell you the definition of contingency because it really just over encompasses everything we're going to talk about because it's a contingency is truly the occurrence or existing of something based on other circumstances. So in other words, contingency means depends on.
And Angie, I don't want to confuse other realtors listening or the consumer listening with what a contingency in a contract is. Let's talk about that for 1 second. So a contingency in a contract is something that needs to happen, that item needs to happen and kind of come to fruition, if you will, to proceed with the rest of the contract.
Right.
So normal contingencies in a contract, we write a straight contract for a buyer on a property. They're going to have a financing contingency, potentially. With that financing contingency might come an appraisal contingency. They're probably going to have an inspection contingency. They should always have that.
Right.
There might be a contingency on a new roof going on. So let's say the listing said new roof completed prior to closing. Well, you're going to want to write that into your contract and make the contract contingent upon that new roof going on. So now your lender is going to be paying attention to that. Obviously, the buyer is going to be paying attention to that, and that will need to be completed before closing. So therefore, it's a contingency of the contract.
Right. And our contracts, just by the way that they are written, because I've had a lot of people say, now we got to make sure that this is contingent on financing. Well, it is. By the nature of our contract, we don't have to write anything different. Our contracts, Missouri contracts, have a built-in financing and appraisal condition if you indeed need those.
That's
so
right.
that's already there, as well as the inspection, you know, in contingency.
That's
so
right.
Those are already in the contract. So it's not something we have to write in because, trust me, we are not attorneys.
Right.
You don't want us writing any more than
write
we have
law.
To.
No.
We do not.
No.
So then now that we've covered you know, what a contingency might be that, you know, as part of the contract.
Right.
Now we can talk about.
Yeah. A contingency contract.
A contingency contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I know that all sounds very similar, but we're going to let you know what the difference is in a contingency contract. And by that, we mean I'm a seller and I own a home at 123 Main Street. I call Angie, my realtor. And I say, Angie, I want to buy a new home. My family has doubled in size. We had triplets last year.
Wow.
We've brought in 3 foster dogs. I could go on and on. But we
You've made your point.
We, check. Made that point. We want to buy a new house, and we want to buy a bigger house, okay? So Angie's, one of her first questions is going to be, do you need to sell your current house to buy another house? And sometimes your circumstance allows you to not have to do that. But many times you do have to sell to buy. So if I need to sell my existing house at 123 Main Street in order to buy this new walk-up basement home on 5 acres, then Angie's going to walk me through that process. And we're going to, once I start looking, and I locate a house that I love, 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 Angie's going to do her job, and she's going to ask some questions and make sure that that house and that seller we'll look at a contingency contract because that is going to mean that, remember, I have to sell my house to buy their house. So we're going to walk you through what this kind of looks like in a normal scenario.
Right. And there are two options that we have if you are selling your house. One is we can make it contingent upon the sale of your house.
Correct.
Or we could make it contingent on the closing of your house. So if Tanya, in your example, if Tanya the seller is talking to me and I'm the agent, I'm going to say, you know, as she mentioned, do you have to sell to buy? And if you do, then we either, if you're comfortable enough, we may put your house on the market before we find something.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
So that would mean that it's contingent on the sale of your house. And the seller, now here, you know, we want to make sure that you understand that you can write that kind of an offer on a house. However, there is a kickout clause. So let's say that's the situation that either we've put your house on the market or we haven't. The intention is your house is going to go on the market.
That's right.
And we're going to make the offer for the new home contingent on this one selling.
Right.
Then the seller is going to look at that and say, okay, and we may write it up that we want, when we're representing the buyer, we're going to write it up for as little kickout or as much kickout time as we possibly can, right?
Correct. Yes.
So we may write the offer that it is 72 hours of kickout clause, meaning that Tanya, the seller, will have 72 hours to come up with a different form of payment if they get, if the seller gets another legitimate offer on their house.
That's right. On the house that I'm going to purchase or I want to purchase.
Right.
So in that scenario, Angie, as you said, I could go ahead and put my house on the market and be hopeful that there is going to be a house for me. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, though, the seller, me being the seller of my house before I can buy, I don't want to put my house on the market and risk selling it in the first 2 days and then I haven't found a house yet to buy.
Right.
So oftentimes when we sit down with that seller buyer, we have that conversation. What is your comfort level with getting your house on the market before we find a property that you've picked out that you want to buy? And more times than not, in my experience, they're not comfortable putting their house on the market until they've found a suitable property. So another scenario in that case would be, we start looking at houses, and we might look at houses for 3 or 4 weeks, and I finally find that walkout basement house on 5 acres I want to buy, but my house is not listed yet. So I want to go ahead and write that offer, and you're willing, and you go ahead and write the offer. The seller on the walkout basement house is willing to accept a contingency offer. And one of their first questions is going to be, is their house on the market yet? If not, when can it be on the market?
Right.
So something that I want to warn you of is if you start that process that I just said, you better be working to get your house on the market. In fact, I would want to make sure my house was ready to go on the market. Maybe I've already had pictures done. All the closets are cleaned out. My deep cleaning has been scheduled and already done. I've already power washed everything outside. My landscaping is fresh. I've got fresh flowers out. I have done all of that. And now that my house is ready to go, now we're going to go out and look at houses and maybe identify one, write an offer, and say, upon acceptance, my house can be on the market within 24 hours. That's a reasonable expectation for a seller. However, sometimes they'll say no. They'll say your house has got to be on the market before I accept a contingency offer from you. And then that seller is going to wait for my house to sell for us to be able to actually go under contract and start our inspection or financing periods. Meanwhile, in our MLS, and this is how we operate here, in other states and other areas, it's different. That walkout basement on 5 acres, that seller can continue to show their home to any prospective buyer. Their status in the computer in the MLS goes to active with contingency. And so they can look at other offers. They can accept another offer. But once they've accepted another offer, that's when that kickout clause comes in that you were talking about.
Right. And that could be, like I said, from a buyer's perspective, you want that to be as long as you can possibly get it. Maybe you have no means to come up with the money to buy this outside of selling your house.
Right.
Other people, often they'll say, I could buy this house outright, but I really don't want to own two homes.
That's right.
Right. So sometimes there is some flexibility, other times there aren't. Right. But still, as a buyer's agent, I'm going to ask for as much time as possible on that kickout clause. Because again, that gives my buyer, the seller of 123 Main Street, it gives them 72 hours to come up with a way to do that.
That's
However,
right.
most sellers are going to ask for less time than that, because while they're going to accept that other offer that is non-contingent, mm-hmm. they can't fully ratify that contract until they have given time on the kickout clause.
Right.
So obviously from a seller perspective, you don't want more time. You don't want to risk losing this potential buyer that you've got who has cash or conventional loan or something that doesn't have something else to sell.
Right.
You don't want to risk losing them. So from a seller perspective, 24 to 48 hours is probably what, you know, you're going to want to ask for. And hopefully then you can settle on that or somewhere in the middle to make sure that both parties are because, okay, then let's talk about, so the offer is made, when the contingent offer is made, and you were saying that it goes under contingency contract. Active with contingency.
Right.
On the multi list. People are still going to look at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Seller, you mm-hmm. know, and that's why the seller wants to know that your house is either on the market.
That's right.
Or it's going to go on the market immediately. Because, and I don't know, Tanya, we didn't talk about this before. I've talked to people who say, realtors, who say they believe once that happens on the multi-list, once it goes active with contingency, mm-hmm. that it cuts down on their showings.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say that. Now, I've always been of the mind that no, it doesn't, not in the market we're in, because there's so little on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think that it hurts your seller to accept a contingency offer and have it show active with contingency on the multi-list, because it still means that that house can be shown.
It does. I will give a personal experience from last year in the 2024 spring and summer market. For the first time, I had it impact our showings.
Oh, really?
We were not getting showings. I had other homes that were being built mm-hmm. by this active with contingency home that was finished. The other two weren't finished.
Okay.
And the agents would call me on those two homes, and then I would say, well, have you thought about showing, you know, 123, mm-hmm. the one that's active with contingency? Well, no, we didn't want to show that since it already has an offer on it. So you never know the understanding and the communication level of the agents out there.
Yeah.
But it really slowed down our showings.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think it's because, again, coming off of 2020, we just didn't have contingencies.
We didn't.
Because we had multiple offers. We had over asking price.
Right.
You know, all of this was going on in the marketplace. So it really made no sense to even attempt a contingency.
Right.
And most sellers weren't willing to look at that. So do you think, yes, that it's a lack of understanding about what that active with contingency means? Because it's still anybody's game.
It is. It is, and many times, I mean, I'd love to have a stat on this, but I don't. Many times, that buyer in first position that needs to sell a house before they can purchase, many times they cannot purchase without selling.
Right.
And they lose the house. In other words, that second buyer that comes in that's wrote the offer and knows that there's a 72-hour kickout clause, and they've got to wait until that first person turns down and cannot
mm-hmm.
buy it
mm-hmm.
before they become first place. Many times it does happen like
yes.
that buyer cannot buy without selling.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've not had that happen so flagrantly in the past for me to be able to give that statistic. However,
mm-hmm.
That is a statistic that's out there, that if you accept an active with contingency,
mm-hmm.
someone that's got to sell their house to buy, that it could slow down your showings. And I always tell my sellers that. Mm-hmm. And I always say I don't have any data to back that up.
Right.
But it could slow down your showings.
Yeah.
I had a recent house that went active with contingency, another new construction. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that he was willing to accept it based on our experience with the last one, which drug us out several months in the summer.
Yeah.
And he said, no, that's a good offer and I'm not going to turn it down. And yes, let's go for it. I then had another offer come in within, I'm going to say, 2 days of that contingency offer. Mm-hmm. And they did not have to sell anything. So we accept that offer. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, that first offer waived their contingency to sell and got a pre-approval letter and moved forward with the sale.
Yeah.
So it does happen. Yeah. I just feel like more times than not, it doesn't.
I agree. I feel like more times than not, somebody doesn't have the means to buy other than selling their house.
That's right.
And or can't qualify for two homes or whatever it is. Right. So I feel like more often than not, that's what happens. And I guess, you know, the moral of the story is you just have to tell your buyer and seller all aspects of what it is they're doing. Sure. You know, I often say that a contingency is really not worth the paper it's written on.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, if your house doesn't sell fairly quickly, and that's a question that you're going to get from the seller of the house you want to buy. Mm-hmm. They're going to have their agent do some due diligence and find out, okay, it's on the contingency form what the address of your home is.
Right.
But often we write these from people who are out of state or out of the area. So that realtor is going to reach out and say, okay, what's the market like in St. Louis, you know, where you're moving from? How active is the market? What price range are you going to be in?
Right.
They're going to be asking a lot more questions of the realtor just to make sure that they're not doing anything that's really, you know, going to hurt them long term. Because if it does show down showings, then obviously they're going to want to make sure that that house is in an area that will sell, that's priced right. And yeah, we had one last year that one of the agents, actually she's worked with these buyers for 2 years.
Okay.
They had a house to sell in Florida, and it was a unique property in Florida. And they thought it was worth quite a bit more than what it ended up selling for. And I don't know, I'd have to ask her, but I know she wrote at least 5 contingency offers with them.
Yep.
And they'd go under contract and then the house wouldn't sell in Florida. And, you know, and then they would lose out on the house they had a contingency on.
Right.
And it happened over and over again. And I was, you know, kind of coaching my agent. And I said, at some point you need to tell them if they don't get serious about their house in Florida, about selling that, because she was in close communication with her agent in Florida.
Right.
And what's going on? What's the market like? What's, you know, because I'm writing these contingency offers and we keep losing them because that property hasn't sold. And the information she got was, well, it's a unique property, number one. And eventually they came down and it was several $100,000 they had to come. Oh, it wasn't a little overpriced. It was a lot overpriced. And it, granted, a very unique property, two homes on the property. It's very unique, you know, and it was just going to take the right buyer.
Yes.
And finally she closed on it with them a couple of weeks ago. So very proud of her because she stuck with it. But, you know, it's hard when you have that client who thinks the contingency is valid. I don't want to use that word, but it is valid.
Yeah.
It's just you're going to lose out time and time again if you're not really proactive on the other side of that and make sure your house is show ready and that, you know, you're looking seriously at all offers and looking at price reductions if that needs to be done.
Absolutely. And going back to that, making sure that your seller is prepared with their home, having an idea of what it's worth, and also knowing what their expectation is. So let's say you come in and you meet with me, the seller, and you say, okay, Tanya, your house is worth, you know, $249,900. That is the target price according to the comps. And there's, you know, 8 comps I can pull that prove that price. And I say to you, yeah, but I was hoping to price it at $275,000. Well, realistically, you're going to have to say, look, with a contingency offer, you have to be priced right. Mm-hmm. It has to look right. You have to mm-hmm. be completely ready for that buyer. You mm-hmm. want to sell in the first 48 hours, and we want to give you the best opportunity to sell in the first 48 hours if you really want to buy that house on 5 acres.
Right.
Because if you have an unrealistic expectation on that side of it, it's never going to work. You're going to end up in that exact position mm-hmm. that your agent was with her people in Florida. And she couldn't control that, obviously.
No.
She's not the agent in Florida.
Right.
But that just adds another realm of complications to the contingency contract.
Right. Right.
An example I wanted to give you for a client that I worked with last year, and funny enough, I just wrote an offer for them this weekend. Mm-hmm. So they kind of knew what they wanted to buy. They knew they wanted to sell. They had a pool in their backyard. They had owned that house for maybe 6-7 years, and they mm-hmm. were just kind of over it. They were mm-hmm. over the pool. They were over the maintenance. It was sitting in a great area in Springfield. And when we started the process, we started looking at homes before we listed their house.
Okay.
Because they really didn't know where they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. What price point they wanted to be in. I mean, really, they were like, well, we could do this or we could do this and we could do that or we could do that over there. Mm-hmm. And that's okay while you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But once we got their house on the market, and that was a conversation that we had to have, and they decided to pull the trigger on that because they couldn't find anything that really, really suited them. Mm-hmm. So these are very logical, intelligent people. So we sat down and I gave them every scenario. Okay, mm-hmm. here's what happens. So basically they had to have a plan B, right? Because they are choosing to go ahead and put their house on the market mm-hmm. because they could not find that next house that really suited them. Mm-hmm. They decided, well, we're going to go ahead and sell because that gets rid of one huge objection.
Yeah.
So when we do find that house we love, we will have that taken off of our plate. We won't any longer have to write a contingency offer, completely remove that from the situation. What they had to be prepared for was going into a rental.
Right. And have a plan.
And we had to make that plan B, and they finally just kind of threw it up to God and said, lead us, because mm-hmm. we are so stressed by you know, trying to figure this out and trying to time everything.
Yeah.
We were able to get their house under contract and sold quickly, good. Which we hadn't expected.
Yeah.
Because selling a pool in the winter is not always easy,
true.
As you know.
True.
And so, surprisingly, it sold quickly, and they moved into the mindset, we're going to downsize, we're going to declutter, we're going to sell a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. and we're going to find a rental and then figure out where to go. Well, it's funny, because in those months, and that all happened last October, we closed, I believe, in November, mm-hmm. they started looking in other areas. Once they had that off their plate, it opened up their mind to other things.
Possibilities. Yeah.
So they moved out of Springfield and they mm-hmm. started looking in Ozark. So first, they definitely wanted a house in Ozark. Mm-hmm. Well, then they said, what do you know about Nixa? And I was like, come on, I'm an eagle. I'm a Nixa eagle. So I tell them about Nixa. I'm like, if you're going to consider Ozark, consider Nixa too.
Right.
They're bedroom communities. Go look. Let's open that portal up to mm-hmm. Ozark and Nixa. Mm-hmm. So then they decided to rule out Springfield. Mm-hmm. They then looked into Nixa schools, and they have two young boys. And because of some of the programs in Nixa, mm-hmm. decided to then just focus on Nixa throughout Ozark. Mm-hmm. And however many months later, we literally just found them a house and wrote a contract yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
In Nixa. So, and their price point, their needs, their
everything
budget,
fell into
everything
place.
Has changed over those 8 months.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
But it just kind of goes to show that sometimes selling to buy is complicated.
Yeah.
And sometimes for the right people, and mm-hmm. it's not always the right situation, mm-hmm. but for the right people, taking that objection off the table is helpful.
Right.
So it worked out for them.
Tanya, I think we should take a break.
All right.
Let's take a little break and hear a word from our sponsors.
Real Talk, Real Industry Insights. Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Jack Langley at Gershman Mortgage. We've been helping home buyers and real estate professionals for over 70 years, and we know that success just isn't about transactions. It's about knowledge, relationships, and having the right tools to grow. That's why we're proud to host Simply Authentic in our studio, bringing you the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back.
We're back.
And we're talking about contingencies. And we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. I want to, Tanya, if we can, shift to, you sort of alluded to this a little bit ago, in terms of when you write a contingency offer, you are asking the seller to place their home in this active with contingency realm on the MLS.
Correct.
So you're asking the seller to do something, not really take their house off the market, but in a way, yes.
Right.
So I've always taught that if you're going to do that, you got to give up something else. So don't expect to lowball.
Oh, for sure.
Don't expect to lowball and ask right. the seller to take a contingency offer at the same time. It's not going to happen. You've got to give to get, right?
That's right. Yes.
So you, the example that you gave prior to us going to break, where they decided that they're just going to sell their house because they just needed to take something off their plate. Right. It was too much. It
yes.
was too stressful to try and do both at the same time.
Right.
Well, that puts them in a better position to negotiate.
Absolutely.
When it came to it. When you wrote the offer this weekend, they were in a yep. much better position to negotiate than they would have been if they had had their house on the market and they had written a contingency offer. So I want our listeners to think about that as well. Think about right. what you're doing, again, in this, what we do. It's all about negotiation, and it's all about you know, we representing you, if you're making a contingency offer, we want to do the best we can by you. But when we tell you that you're going to have to give to get, please right. take that to heart, because it's true. You just can't ask the seller to do everything, take a low price, take it off the market partially, you know, to some degree, and meet all of your demands. It's just unrealistic, honestly.
It is. You really have to set the expectation with your client that they are going to have to make a strong offer. Mm-hmm. And I've always told my clients, your negotiating position with a contingency is zero.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
not in a negotiating position.
Mm-mm.
Unless that house has been on the market for 2 years,
yeah.
then maybe, you know,
yeah.
maybe
right.
you could come
right.
in and negotiate.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just not in a superior position, mm-mm. so you need to make a good offer.
Right.
I wanted to mention, because you brought this up a little while ago, our different markets. And mm-hmm. in 2020, 21, and 22, it was a absolute no. There is no opportunity for a contingency contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that really forced those sellers who are going to be buyers into, do I want to put my house on the market and risk mm-hmm. not having anywhere to go?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those people said, no way.
Yeah.
Because even in those years, it was hard to find rentals.
Yes.
I mean, we were just maxed out on everything in those real estate years. So you always need to start the conversation with your realtor and your trusted advisor. What kind of market are we in? Are they accepting contingencies?
Mm-hmm.
Because in 23 and 24,
mm-hmm.
and now 25, we have went back to a market where contingencies are quite frequent.
Sure. Yeah.
And they are being negotiated.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to make sure that you're asking those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a really good realtor who is lining all of this up for you and has done this before so that they know how best to position you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it all depends on the market. And I would say also that, again, going back to if you're talking to your realtor, your trusted advisor, and they're not really up to speed on contingencies, please ask them to ask their broker or, exactly. you know, get the right information. Right. Because again, it's not, if they got their license in 2021, 2022, they probably have never, there's a possibility they've yes. never written a contingent offer.
That's right.
So you just have to know and be prepared. And the other thing I wanted to hit on, again, with regard to getting your house on the market, you mentioned just then about rentals. You know, a lot of people sold during that time, like I did. I had no, I had to come up with plan B.
Right.
So you kind of alluded to this earlier. Make sure you have another plan if you decide to not make that contingent offer.
Right.
And put yourself in a better negotiating position. You just need to have a plan B,
right.
whether it's going to be a rental or move in with family or something
right.
until that happens. But I always advise that that's better than doing a contingent offer.
Yeah, agree. I think so too. It just puts you in a better negotiating position. And at the end of the day, that's what we want.
Right.
So if you have any further questions about this, you're either a realtor or a newer realtor and you want to talk about this more, reach out to us. Mm-hmm. Share this episode with a friend on social media or on your favorite podcast listening streaming device so that we can get more listens and downloads for the podcast.
We want to thank Gershman Mortgage for allowing us to record here, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.